Welcome to CompTIA's Shark Bites podcast with Alan Shark, Executive Director at the Public Technology Institute.
Hi there, this is Alan Shark, and I'm the Executive Director of PTI, which is now part of CompTIA. And welcome to another edition of Shark Bites, the podcast that focuses on local government experts in various fields. Today, we're really lucky. We're going to be talking with Greg Usim, who is the Chief Performance Officer for the City of Alexandria, Virginia. I am a little biased here because I've lived in the city for some 17 years, and I think it's an exceptionally well-run place. Greg joined the city in 2012 and has been responsible for improving service delivery through measurement and analysis. Before coming to Alexandria, he served as Director of Budget and Policy for Wake County, North Carolina, and Prince George's County, Maryland, as the Planning and Accountability Officer. Both Greg and I go back when we first met in 2012. So first of all, Greg, welcome to the program.
Thank you. And I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah. You know, I've always, since talking with you and even before, given my work at Rutgers and in public administration, you know, to me, performance management analysis is so absolutely important. I know that's your passion, but I just want you to know I share that. But it's unusual to have people in your position for a city of this size. So what was the opportunity? How did that all come about? I mean, take us back to before 2012. The city of Alexandria did not have such a position. They didn't have an office. So this was something brand new.
It was. And I think, as you alluded to, the city has always been interested in being innovative and has always wanted to use data to inform decisions, to make the best decisions for our community. And, you know, I think that we began this journey with starting it off in the budget office. And what began as an initiative through that office turned into something that I think the city said, this is just a little too much for an office that already is dedicated to another very important process. And a new city manager came on board, Rashad Young, who is now with the District of Columbia. And he saw the potential and the value in it and recognized that it needed its own office, its own dedicated staff and resources. And so in 2012, he implemented this office. And the budget office transferred those responsibilities over to us.
So this has been interesting. I kind of got reacquainted to some of your work when there was a big press release that the city announced a new website that actually was a dashboard, which everyone wants a dashboard, with all sorts of performance metrics. It really is... I think it's terrific. It's very telling. It's very informative. But I don't think people realize the difficulty in getting there. In other words, was that your goal from the beginning? And it's taken you, you know, since 2012, 13 to now? Or was that something that just got a recent interest and enabled you to move forward? Because it's not easy gathering data.
Yeah, it's not easy gathering data. And, you know, it's sort of like everybody has seen that infographic with a glacier, and you've got the very tip out of the water, and then you've got the base way down deep in the water. And, you know, dashboards have that exact same visual. You've got the pretty dashboards poking through that everybody loves and finds a lot of value in. We've got about 120 of them up on the web, each covering key services in the city. And then, but you're right, all of that work leading up to that, training people, moving data, cleaning data, all of that, it takes quite an effort to get there. I would love to say that that path is linear and straightforward, but it really wasn't. It was that line was zigzagging as we said to ourselves, we started off with some Excel sheets and we said, this is helpful. but we need a little bit more, and we need a little bit more, and we need it a little bit different. And the city council, of course, and the city manager, Mr. Young and then Mr. Jinks now, they all have wanted more and better information. And so we've really tried to focus our dashboards on what will help us drive decisions and inform decisions. And that again is a, for us at least, our journey was a more incremental process as we learned and we grew as an organization.
Did you find it difficult? In other words, I think getting data has always been a challenge in terms of what format is it, and you alluded to how accurate is it, and then getting so to the point where you can compare apples with apples. But did you find resistance from some? In other words, I have found in the past that there are certain agencies that really have resisted cooperating. They kind of stall. They say, Greg, what are you going to use this data for? That's being polite. Did you encounter some of that?
Yeah, there's always that challenge and that buy-in right away, I think. The main fear that comes out of this is, as you said, it's what are you going to use that data for? And the initial feeling is about a gotcha situation. If I give you my data, are you coming after me in some way? And is this going to be used to penalize? And what we've always strived to do is to focus folks on the point that this is all about continuous improvement. It's not about going after anybody or about any service. It is simply about let's learn what's going on today. That's what the measures are telling us. This is a nice picture of where we are today. But we should be taking a deeper dive into areas that we're having challenges in and then helping fix and solve those problems once we figure out what those root causes ultimately are. And so that working through all of that takes time and it takes, examples. And so it's a slow process that you keep building on, and we're still building on. We're certainly not perfect at it yet. We still have challenge areas. But that's our North Star, is that continuous improvement focus.
So I'm going to assume it helps the fact that you're highly positioned within the organization chart. I mean, I think a position, I think you could take exactly what you do. If you weren't placed where you were, you might have some even greater challenges. As I see it, you have the city manager, you have an office of organizational excellence, and you're right there. Mm-hmm. So when I look at the organization, you're way up there. I mean, you're way above, some of the assistant city managers, at least the way I saw the chart, in terms of hierarchy, but it's obviously important to the city. Mm-hmm. So I assume that has to help you in terms of positioning. But on the other hand, how do you determine your priorities? In other words, we could collect data, all the time and make sense of it. And I think what I've always struggled with is the difference between data analytics and open data portals. I had someone in one of my classes once and he got very upset with me. And I said, why? At the very end, he said, I didn't want to say anything because I wanted to graduate, which was never a question. He was an excellent student. But he had a complex. And I said, what's the issue? And he said, you have always poo-pooed or don't show respect for open data portals. And I said, no, that's not true. All I say is that there's more to public management than just cataloging and putting data out there. That's nice. I mean, it used to be done with the idea and hope that some private company would take this data and make an app and give it to the city for free. And, that was like 6 years ago. There still are open data sites. They still have value. But if you don't have a plan to take the data and analyze it and with the goal of making better decisions, I you're missing the boat. And that to me was a disconnect. So we know that that's where you are, but how do you determine priorities? I mean, do you have meetings with upper management and they say, I'm hearing things politically in this area, in public works, and I don't know any of the, or in public say, and then you get your cues from the city manager or others. I mean, it's one thing to collect data on a routine basis, all things being equal, but how do you determine the priorities, where to place emphasis?
Yeah, that is a terrific question. And you're right, we could collect gobs and gobs of data. We already are collecting quite a bit of data. And I think the priority, and you're absolutely right, the priority being focused on where do we want to use the information and how do we want to use the information? And so, you know, part of my job is to serve almost as an internal consultant inside the organization, to talk with the city manager regularly, his deputies, as well as the department heads, have also talking to other levels of the organization, so we can get a feeling of what is important and what is it that we need data to help inform and shed light on. Because certainly I have things that I look at and I say, wow, that's a really interesting topic. Let's dive into it or let's collect data on it. But the manager or director, whoever, who's responsible of over that issue or topic, they may not care at all about what I'm interested in. They may not see any value in that. And so that's a big part of my job, is to essentially navigate the waters to say, hey, what do we care about? And what are we going to make a decision on? And where can we help? Sometimes, you know, we're not, there are other factors that go into decisions. Sometimes, they want data to drive it completely. And sometimes it's more multifaceted than that. And so therefore, you know, those issues we spend less time on. So it's a give and take. And but just to come back to that point that you said a moment ago, the most important part is figuring out where are we going to make a decision using the data, and where do we need to apply data to do that?
So if someone is trying to replicate what your operation, I mean, they should talk to you directly, but I'm assuming that one place to start is develop an overall plan and decide, just like GIS, come up with a base map, because data is comparative. So, if you start with a level playing field and you take all your key departments and you start putting in certain data, then at least you have a baseline that if you go back to something, at least then you can say, well, in the last 3 years, I see this trend or that trend.
I would agree with that. I think, one way that I like to kind of think about this is, are you somebody who wants to use Google Maps or not to get somewhere? You know, it's sitting on your phone. And the question is, are you going to use it to get from point A to point B? Because it's full of data, it's full of information to help you get from place to place. It's informed decision making at the end of the day. And so, if you're somebody who doesn't care about it, doesn't want to look at it, doesn't matter how much power is sitting in that Google Map app, if you're never going to look at it, it doesn't really matter. So similar in this space as well, at least in my opinion, we can build tons of great dashboards, put tons of analysis into it, do all kinds of data modeling, machine learning, whatever it is you want to apply to it. But if that leader, that manager, that person that has to make the decision isn't interested in it for whatever reason, then, there's not a ton of value in focusing on that point.
Yeah. So collecting data for the sake of data is not productive.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think something that folks, that I talk to who do call and ask about, do they set up a program like this? One of the very first steps a lot of people think is, let's set up a dashboard. I want to put measures together. That should be my first step. And if you build it, they will come kind of philosophy. And I always warn them a little bit to say, but what is the organization trying to do? What are you trying to inform? And what are you trying to think about and continuously improve? And I think that's kind of where to start, is thinking about that.
I think I would add one other thing. I'm agreeing with you, but I think you take for granted, almost to the point, you are really well positioned. So if someone said, where do I start? I think I would say you really need a high level champion. Because otherwise you're an analyst and you're kind of floundering. You're in a, you know, kind of a support role. You're much more than that. You're in a strategic area with a direct support, you know, from the original person who has moved on to DC government to the current who's been there a number of years. But, you know, I mean, he's been there for a long time. I know him well. He's really, really sharp. That to me is critical in terms of placement, you know, in terms of if you're going to do this alone, be the Lone Ranger, you're just not going to be as effective.
Yeah, I think there's certainly a major advantage that my office has, you know, had terrific support. And, you know, as you pointed out, we're now in a larger office of organizational excellence, which even has the potential for, you know, larger impacts inside the organization that I think, you know, Mr. Jinks has done a terrific job thinking about and putting in place. But I think there are other ways to go about this too. I think, you know, showing value by, you know, solving a problem can get you, you know, some movement forward. So, you know, to that struggling analyst who is by themselves, who's listening to this, I would encourage them to keep going and to show value by, you know, show the results of problem solving, show them what, you know, this kind of information can help, you know, their supervisor do better. Because that can be a great learning moment and move that ball just a little bit more forward.
Yeah, and then you'll get your champion. you'll get it through proving. It's a little bit more difficult, but you're right. Don't give up if you don't have the champion. I take your point, and that's really good. I guess one thing that comes to mind, do you have a formal relationship with the budgeting process? In other words, does performance and budgeting go hand in hand? Like at certain points of the year, are you getting involved with the budget process at all?
So here in Alexandria, that has occurred on and off. We've done it sometimes and not done it other times. And I've done that in other positions, in other places. You know, at least, and I'll be honest, I've actually gone back and forth in my personal philosophy on what makes the most sense. And right now I feel like it is best to have budget decisions you know, go through a normal budget process, but because there are just so many decisions to be made in a very short period, relatively short period, and there's a lot of demands on those decisions, where my office and offices like mine can add the most value, I think right now is by taking weedy problems, taking them out of the process, then doing detailed analysis and then coming back with information to help inform the next cycle or another decision point. Now, there are plenty of great budget processes out there that use performance information. I know that, you know, budgeting for outcomes is certainly one of them that's out there. I think there are just pros and cons to all of these things. To get, at least in my mind, to get deeper analysis, deeper answers, it's, you know, you really need to pull it out of that process, have it before or have it after, so that you can arrive at a more thorough decision.
So looking back, what are you most, of all your accomplishments in the job, what are you most proud of?
Well, you know, I think it's the stuff that doesn't get a lot of attention. You know, we've been building we've been centralizing critical data in the city that we get regular questions on to analyze. You know, the city, you know, stuff around payroll and overtime. We get a lot of questions about that. So working to centralize and clean that data, setting up data policies, and also seeing the organization as a whole continue to grow and learn and embrace using the information, using data and analysis to make decisions. You know, I'm always excited about a big project that, you know, people like to reference and look at, and that, you know, like the dashboards, like you mentioned, and, you know, those were a lot of work. And, but it's those little items, those little wins that are the things that really build up to us being able to put out that kind of information.
Since this is audio, we don't have something to show on the screen. Could you just slowly give us the address to look at your dashboard?
Of course, of course. That web address is alexandriava.gov, and then it's /performance.
Simple as that. Cool. Okay. So as you look ahead, what are the remaining challenges? I mean, you've accomplished so much. There's so much more to be done. Are there things that, you know, are on your to-do list that have yet to been accomplished, or things have kind of just come out of nowhere and that that excites you moving forward?
Well, I'm always excited about problems and issues and trying to help the organization and the community solve those issues and problems. You know, I think something that we've all had a blind spot on for a while is equity. And I think, you know, the city, we're fortunate enough, again, the city manager is you know, been very thoughtful. He's hired an equity officer. And so we're excited to work with her to help further those, further her initiatives through data analysis, I think. There's a lot that we can help. We can help on there, and I think our, you know, a challenge that you mentioned earlier, and I think we're not the only ones who face this, is, you know, the continued improvement of collecting good data that helps us solve problems, and I think that's something that, you know, we're going to continue to iterate on and work on, because that's the, you know, that is the stuff that helps us then, you know, assist the equity folks in those initiatives in the city. So, or, you know, other initiatives or other issues. So, you know, I see that as a foundational piece that we're still working on.
So I guess I have to ask this question, somewhat unrelated, but how has the COVID crisis affected what you do?
Yeah, so my office was asked almost right from the beginning to assist in the emergency operations with, you know, to work on this crisis and this emergency. Initially, it was just going to be a few hours from one of my analysts, and now, you know, at its peak, we were probably 100%, if not more, of our time and energy, and we continue to support that effort. And that is really everything from helping folks collect a whole range of data to helping, you know, review what public data looks like, presenting that information, helping people understand it. You know, we used to have every single day a situational report that we went over key COVID indicators to help folks understand what's happening. And we also have public dashboards to help the community see what's going on with COVID. So, you know, that has been a real, you know, a real change in our focus from what we were doing. But I think also what it's done is it's just further shown and further illustrated to the organization and I hope also to the community the value of data and how a team like ours can help an organization even in the middle of crisis. You know, I'm also part of a regional performance consortium. We meet twice a year, Mid-Atlantic StatNet, and our last meeting, which was right in the middle of the crisis, we basically all just talked about how all of our offices are actually doing exactly what I just said. We're all working on COVID data, you know, whether it is, you know, what is our inventory of personal protective equipment and how we're using it, what's the burn rate, all of that kind of stuff. So the organization has a feeling over around that. To, again, like I said, different kinds of public visualizations so that folks can see what's going on with COVID. But again, I think we all agreed it is, we are seeing that reaching new parts of the organization to see and show the value of using data and analysis. So that's something that I think has come out of this.
So I should ask, how many staff do you have?
I have two, and then myself, so it's a team of three.
Okay. So one of the things when you and I first met, we talked about your dream, and that dream was to have a comparative database of like cities, because you certainly want to compare yourself, City of Alexandria with say, Montgomery County or, Fairfax County. There's the big and the small. You've always had that. I think I get calls every year from members asking something similar to that. Have you had any success in identifying a source that could provide that?
Oh, big challenge. Gosh, yeah. Good memory. It's been actually a big challenge. When I was in graduate school at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, when I was a research assistant, I helped the UNC benchmarking program, and they do municipal benchmarking. They used to do counties. I'm not sure if they went back to that or not, but anyways, and that was kind of our thought was we would really like something like that where you could compare services so we could see how well we are doing. And there's other groups out there like that. I believe UMass runs one for the Northeast, and Florida has one as well. And there's a couple others I'm sure I'm forgetting. We really had trouble and still have trouble with that one. It's a challenge because we haven't had a partner that has come forward that's interested, and it takes a lot of time and energy to build the comparisons. And then we tried to do it ourselves for a little while, the jurisdictions, and we had challenges with that because there's no one, going through everything and looking at it and leading it and managing it beyond sort of little pieces of time that we all could spare. And, it takes a while to get common definition. So I believe we started with fire or police response time. I can't remember which one. And we picked that one because we thought it would be easy in quotations to compare. We all do it. There's common definitions generally out there, but we could not figure out where to start the clock and where to stop the clock. And
literally in terms of response. Literally, yeah.
Because everybody starts and stops the clock slightly differently for a variety of very good reasons, both from the technology perspective as well as from a policy perspective. So just something very simple, you would think like that, I think really gave us pause generally on, what it would really take to do that.
I was involved with a similar project and I came to the same conclusion. So last question, sure. You had talked a little bit about your regional group. I mean, you may not have a database, but at least you have a group of peers that can share best practices, different devices. How long has that been around? And if you could say a little bit more about it.
Sure, yeah, that's been around actually since about 2012. Hmm. And it actually originally started by Fairfax County somewhere in the 90s. And they started it to bring similar goals, to bring us all together as a region, to share best practices and learn from each other. And then it petered out after a little while. And when Alexandria brought me on board, my counterpart in Montgomery County was also brought on board, Dave Gottesman. And the two of us, along with Bill Yakin, Fairfax County, we said, why don't we restart this group? And so ever since then, we've been meeting about twice a year. It covers Virginia, Maryland, the district, Pennsylvania, Delaware, and we get together and we share, you know, our challenges, our successes, and we try and learn from each other on how to further the state of this field. We also bring in experts to talk about the field and help us learn about, you know, what's going on and what's coming up. And that has been a, you know, it's just been a terrific group to learn from each other and also be able to call somebody, you know other folks to call up and ask questions about as, you know, new initiatives come up or new problems come up. So it's been a terrific experience with them. And it's completely run by the local governments. And we rotate the location, and the some of the state government folks show up as well as some of the feds from time to time will come. So GAO, for example, likes to come quite a bit.
So this being a national program, there may be people out west or in the Midwest who might be listening and saying, wow, we've got such a group too. So wouldn't it be cool to kind of see if there are some linkages, or somebody would say, gosh, we should start one of those. So I think they're going to know who to talk to. So
absolutely,
this has been very helpful, Greg. We've been talking with Greg Usom, who is the Chief Performance Officer for the City of Alexandria, Virginia. And you've been listening to Shark Bites, the podcast series by the Public Technology Institute, and PTI is now part of CompTIA. If you've enjoyed this program, please subscribe, because you will get alerts to upcoming programs. And at this point, we come out every other Thursday. So Greg, thank you for your time. It's most enjoyable to catch up with you and share your experiences.
Thank you so much.
This has been a production of PTI, the Public Technology Institute. To learn more, visit pti.org.